Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot Consulting. Whether you need technical architecture, developer support, optimization and analysis, on-site training, or just general guidance for your Drupal project, Lullabot has led many of the largest Drupal projects in the world. Visit lullabot.com or call 877-LULLABOT to find out how we can help you with your next project.
My name's Simon Hobbs and I run a company in Melbourne, Australia called MSpace. MSpace focus on client websites. We do a bit of training, essentially that, a little bit of hosting as required. And Australia's pretty exciting at the moment. There's been a number of government websites that have been launched. The Australian Prime Minister, the equivalent of a president in other countries, has launched his own site on Drupal. And also the Australian national broadcaster, the ABC, has launched three or four sites on Drupal. So Drupal's getting a lot of exposure, starting to get a lot more exposure in the media and exposure to big companies and, and to government or community, large community organisations and things are looking at Drupal quite seriously. That's very exciting.
And so maybe talk about, where does MSpace fit into sort of the Drupal ecosystem in Australia? What type of clients are you working with? These big clients or smaller clients, or who are you working with?
MSpace has tried a number of strategies over the years. We've focused a lot on having design partners sometimes to good effect, but also we've also gone directly to the client, which is often works much simpler. MSpace doesn't employ graphic designers, so we usually need to have a relationship with the designer for the nice quality websites. And what we're finding as the market is maturing is that there's a lot more corporations coming to us. They have developers in-house and they really want to build on the Drupal knowledge, or someone's made a decision internally to start using Drupal, and they're really looking in the Australian ecosystem for development companies or for skilled Drupal developers, and haven't really found them. So could probably say that the Australian market, as far as I can tell, has been maybe behind the US market by at least a year as far as adoption and knowledge about Drupal. I mean, there's currently a shortage of Drupal developers in Australia, and there has been. We haven't really felt the impact of, the downturn in, at least as far as web design companies go in Australia. So a lot of the times, if you need to provide a developer, a Drupal developer for a corporate partner, your only choices are to bring in a PHP developer, find a suitable PHP developer and train them up, or to train them internally. So we're starting to get a lot of demand for training, for doing, small teams of, say, five people inside a company. And, the real difficulty, even though we've set up a training space at the MSpace office in Melbourne, but one of the difficulties with Australia is it's a very large country with populations that are very sort of, they're all on the coastline or in the major cities. So I think we'll find ourselves travelling to Sydney and other places and Canberra to do corporate training and to try and basically increase the pool of Drupal developers in the market.
So maybe you could talk about, like, you started as a Drupal developer, a coder, and you've sort of gone through different evolutions in terms of like what you're doing in your day-to-day job. So maybe you could just sort of say where you started and now where you're at and sort of where have you been in between?
So my background was as a data analyst working with Microsoft products, and for personal reasons I really wanted to get out from working, from the limitations of working for a company, and to make decisions about what I wanted to work on. So I found it difficult to switch my career, say, to doing web work. And the easiest way was to simply, quit my job and start working for myself. So it took me a little while to actually discover open source. I was coming from the idea of .NET as being the way to get into web. When I did discover open source, that was a bit of a mind-opening experience, to say the least. I tried a few systems where, Drupal, and I'm sure many open source systems are the same in the sense that you are quite empowered quite quickly to get involved and to, start coding or to start contributing to the project. So the first year or so was a lot of working, doing my own projects. and then slowly trying to work out ways to get the bigger projects in order to have maybe a little bit more stability as far as income goes, or to be able to actually to move from working for very small companies in your neighbourhood to actually to being able to pitch for larger jobs and get, you know, basically improve your return on the time you're spending working on Drupal. So M-Space was initially just me and my wife, and we now have an office in the city with about six people, so fairly small still. And that's really my dream come true, being able to travel into Melbourne City each day. It's a great town, great cafes, and, you know, having a nice space with a training area. And we do the Melbourne meetups occur in Melbourne at our offices, so it's a pretty good lifestyle. And you know, I've got to admit that I have to hand it to Drupal to enable that.
And so you were sort of mentioning that you used to be doing coding every day, but now you're not sort of coding on a day-to-day basis. What is sort of the stuff that you are doing now day-to-day in order to run the business? Mm.
So a lot of my work now, putting aside the training where I am doing a lot of the training myself, but ideally bringing some other trainers in, you know, would be the next step. But, you know, a lot of my work is really talking to the clients initially, you know, building up their understanding their requirements and building up specifications, and then identifying a suitable developer, either someone on the team or often we bring in a contractor, and then really working with that person and making sure that everything is done the Drupal way. My personal opinion is that the most critical part of a Drupal project, and probably most projects, is, you know, the first couple of weeks. The first couple of weeks are when all the information architecture gets decided. So I'm really closely involved with the developer to make sure that content types are created in a sane way and not sort of in a scattergun approach. You know, because these things can really affect performance and flexibility later. You know, the number of node references between different content types is, in my opinion, really crucial. Keeping it as simple as possible so that later you're not looking at it and just tearing your hair out trying to understand what's going on, or trying to show pieces of information in a simple way without too much extra code. So you're constantly looking at what your developers are doing, how much custom code they're writing, questioning that, saying, do you need to write that custom code? Questioning their choice of external modules. Do they need to install 3,000 lines of contributed code where they could do the same thing in 10 lines in a form alter? So really a lot of it is about quality control and making sure that as the project wraps up, that I can go back to the client and I can be confident that the output is good. And you learn that by experience. You know, we've got projects that, you know, have performance problems and things like that because some of the decisions weren't made. And I think a lot of Drupal companies are in that boat. You know, Drupal is so enabling that it allows you to get into the field and to run your own projects, you know, and make your own mistakes. So it's a fascinating thing to be doing.
So what are some of the other sort of best practices that you've sort of discovered through just the process of working with Drupal in terms of that, those first couple of weeks of, since it is so critical, what are some other things that you are doing?
You know, it's funny, it boils down, for me it does boil down to the content model, to the information architecture. I think that the choice of modules that you're using, you know, someone who's a good coder, who's a good PHP coder and is learning Drupal, you know, they haven't got to know who the best developers are, and they haven't got to know, you know, which suite of modules is most used. So, you know, you can very easily be having a looking at a project and, oh my god, they're not using image cache, they're using, you know, the old image module, and, you know, that might still be used by someone but not by us. You know, we know most people are doing it this way, but this new developer has made a different decision. There's just so many options out there, so a lot of it is about experience and sharing experience. And that's part of the reason why I really like having an office and not having a distributed company, because I think that having the developers sitting next to each other, you know, in the same room, they're constantly learning from each other. And I myself am able to hear what's going on and say, oh, you know, have you looked at this approach? Or I'm actually able to learn about things. For example, in Australia, we don't really have many requirements for internationalisation. So when we recently had the first job where we needed to install locale and internationalisation, I was able to learn off the developer who did the implementation. You know, I don't have time myself to learn sometimes, so I can actually ask them questions. And so, yeah, but as far as best practice goes, the information architecture, I think, is key, because you don't get to sit down and design your table structures. To make the reuse of the Drupal code, you really wanting to try and do it the Drupal way. So if CCK decides to install, you know, multiple tables for certain content types, and perhaps that's not the database schema that you would have designed, you really don't want to lose the benefits of trying to reuse Drupal by, you know, throwing either CCK away or, you know, just creating a million different content types and pointing them all at each other using node references and then hoping that everything's going to be okay. So later down the track when you come into presenting your information, if the information architecture has been well thought out and you haven't agreed to every whim of your client, you can make things a lot easier for yourself. I think one of the great best examples I can think of is simply the situation where you have the client decides that they want to have some field like a phone number, or you know, there's a parent company has a child company, and talking about many-to-one relationships or one-to-one relationships, the client will say, well, yes, potentially there will be a many-to-one relationship between this content type and this content type, and usually I will say that's fine and we can do that, but if you make it a one-to-one relationship, that's going to make some things a little easier. It's going to mean a little less cost as far as developing how we display that information on the page. You know, it's all about getting a compromise with the client to try and keep things sane, because you can do anything, but often you're working with a budget, and well, maybe you're not really working with a budget, but you're working with client expectation. You want, at the end of the day, you want them to feel like that they got really good value out of reusing Drupal and didn't just do all this custom bespoke code on top of Drupal and make it twice as expensive as it would have been if they just did it custom right out of the box. So.
Right. And so when you first started, you were kind of the fire starter and the fire keeper of everything. Now you seem to be sort of the fire starter. You're starting all these projects, but you're not necessarily keeping them to completion. So what do you sort of see in the evolution of MSpace of what's next and what you're going to be doing sort of in the future?
We're really facing the challenge of whether to, you know, I don't think it's feasible in some ways for us to stay quite small and to be able to maintain a lot of fires. We don't have enough specialization within the team. So the big challenge for us is whether to get bigger, and basically for me to learn how to run a larger company, you know, with no business background, these are all challenges for me. So I think it's either that or to go actually into a more consulting training style business. And that's the decision that I'm looking at the moment. There's a lot of demand for training, so it's not out of the question for us to focus exclusively on training. So we're really looking carefully, and not only this conference, but in Washington, D.C., I'm really looking at, you know, what's happening in hosting and companies that are offering hosting. You know, so things like Acquia, they're not trying to be a competitor to budget hosting. You know, if you want a fully managed hosted product, if I want to redirect my customers, say, to Acquia, they're looking at spending, you know, 20 times as much as they are currently spending on hosting with us. So there's certainly some really interesting things happening. And I think when you're going to have the equivalent of budget hosting that takes you right up the Drupal stack into security updates, certainly make it a lot easier for me, because then there will be actually an option to put some of the existing projects that we maintain and allow us to focus more on training and consulting. And I would say probably a lot like what Lullabot does, you know, I think it would be ideal to be doing that sort of thing. And but it also means, you know, you've also got to, you can have too many balls to juggle, and that's probably been the biggest challenge for us is, oh, we do Drupal, that means we do, you know, 100 things. You don't really want to do 100 things if you're only, you know, 3 or 4 people at the core. So, that's a big challenge for us going forward.
Okay, great. Thanks.
No worries. Thanks, Kent.